task is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exaggeration.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood show, the show that's all about handing out 20 million vaccinations for the manufactured swine flu from Fort Detrick. Oh, God, you're going to love that covert bioweapon warfare that actually doesn't even kill anybody but gets hyped up. You know, hey, in fact, during the swine flu pandemic, there was like 20 people in the whole of New Zealand who died, right? And normally the normal flu kills about 1,000 people every year. And they had the words pandemic written in blood on the news.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but shocking all media.
Yeah, by the way, all flus, the reason that they incept generally out of Asia when they're natural, as opposed to the unnatural flu, the American Army flu, which incepted in World War I, they incept there because the population in general is still involved with sustenance agriculture, and they live with their poultry, and they live with their pigs, because they eat pork and on mainland Asia and into the peninsula, and even on Okinawa. And they also live with their chickens, and the chickens run under the house. And what happens is a lot of the chickens' fecal matter or particulate matter, such as shedded feathers, will get into the feed of the pigs. It can't be helped because the pigs often roam. And they're all kind of like pets until they're eaten. And the problem is once the the chicken roll gets into the pigs and the pigs are cooked and eaten, that is the transition from the birds to the pigs to the humans. See, all of humanity, all 9 billion of us, is just a fly speck on the windshield of viral life. The viruses infinitely prefer birds, which were around before humans, and they were evolved to live in their intestinal tracts and vector through them. And the avians provide an enormous biomass in which for viruses to mutate. So all flus are avian flus, and all flus are swine flus. Just something to educate the public on in terms of the misnomers when they throw these terms out at you, like avian flu or swine flu. So
everybody's heard about the bird flu.
Bird flu. But, yeah, like I was saying about the Western states and their sense of independence, when I was trying to segue into a career as a think tanker, I remember I was talking to the RAND/MIT people, and they said, well, what do you think is in America's future? And I said, you know, at the same time, while I was predicting in the late 1980s, early 1990s, I was predicting the reunification of Germany and the collapse of the Soviet Union, said the United States eventually, if it were to collapse into a civil war, it would be the total opposite of the Chinese Civil War. I pointed out that the Chinese Civil War was one in which over 90% of the population, close to 99% in many regions, was rural. They were all farmers. They were all agrarian. And it became a war of the urban gangsters against the rural bandits. And the urban gangsters became monopolized, co-opted by the nationalists, and the rural bandits were co-opted by the communists. And the rural bandits won out because they had a hold of all of the food. The cities were under siege, and their only way to supply was through rivers and through the coast. And without foreign aid and intervention, they were fighting a losing battle and ultimately had to relocate onto the island where I was born, the island of Taiwan, where the nationalist government exists till this day. And in the United States, the situation is just the opposite. I pointed out that 90 to 99%, depending on where the region is being analyzed, of the American population lives in the cities. And less than 1% in many areas, or up to about 9% or so, lives in the 17 Western states. And an enormous amount of farming is done there, and the rest of it is just mountains, missile silos, Mormons, and militiamen. And I pointed out that because of that, the next American Civil War would not be North versus South, but East versus West. And except for a very tiny strip of land along the western coast, which would include just a few miles inland to incorporate the cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles, etc., which is right along the coast, everything in the interior of Washington and Oregon and California would essentially go to a constitutionalist fundamentalist movement, is how I termed it. And these constitutional fundamentalists would be pretty much at ends with a very urban and developed, essentially socialized America that is developing through collectivization. And they would have to collectivize out of necessity because there's no way you can feed the population of the cities without collective distribution. And because of that, you would have kind of a communist versus militia set up. And that was how I analyzed it. Ironically enough, I was just appalled when a series named Jericho came on air, and that was about a nuclear civil war in the United States, and it vaguely alluded to a map along the lines which I had drawn for a think tank. So I highly suspect when they rejected me for that job at the think tank, telling me, Douglas Dietrich, none of our contractors wants to hear that. I'm sure somebody swept that idea, plagiarized it, and sold it to some movie writer somewhere and wound up on TV. So I'm still irked to this day.
You know what? I know people that think Jericho was another example of the powers that the be, the powers that of the New World Order type that pre, you know, they pre-tell the events that are coming, you know, at least that they're planning. Inspired in Jericho is what's eventually going to happen in this country. I think it's very interesting. I think the path we're on, the trajectory we're on, certainly something's going to pop. And I don't know if it'll be, you know, I could certainly see a scenario where the strip that you're talking about from 100 miles inland on the West Coast, let's say over to the Midwest, where this is the new Afghanistan, this is the new Iraq, where you have a bunch of belligerent actors out here in the middle that have had enough and are pushing back, and anything that is said, you know, that is one bit contrary to what the line out of Washington D.C. or the government line is going to be met with the full force of things like National Defense Authorization Act 2012, 2013, and you know, the people that dare to speak out are going to be endangered for sure.
I've got two things to add into here. My my girlfriend just recently watched the back catalog of a number of different TV shows, Jericho being one of them, and she says to me, "Vinny, they created a new United States as a corporation, and it has a United States flag with the stripes going downwards, as is supposed to be the original peacetime flag of the United States." With 13 stars, which is an occult symbol, and she's like wide-eyed and stuff like that. And I was like, "Baby, I love it when you notice like Illuminati symbolism." And secondly, here's an article in here from Duffelblog.com. This is in the top 7,000 websites in America. Military. This is poignant for Veterans Day, I think. Military absentee ballots delivered one day late would have swung election for Romney.
Well, yeah.
So, DC, this is out of DC. Sources confirmed today that hundreds of thousands of military absentee ballots were delivered hours after the deadline for them to be counted, with preliminary counts showing that they would have overturned the vote in several states and brought a victory for Governor Mitt Romney. Officials say the ballots were delivered late due to problems within the military mail system. I'm sure that was just an accident. Tracking invoices show the ballots sat in a warehouse for a month. Then they were accidentally labeled as ammunition and shipped to Afghanistan.
Did you just make that up? Is that for real?
You can't make this stuff
no,
up.
No, you can't. Yeah, you can't make that up. No, that's typical government at work. It's typical military at work. Which, you know, it was something similar happened in the Clinton administration, and the military overwhelmingly, of course, votes conservative or Republican, and fact that this was done was obviously orchestrated, and I'm certain that no matter what happened, they would have tipped the electoral votes to bring Obama back in power because they didn't want to see riots in the cities, because the majority of Americans voted for a change, and as illusory as that change was, no one in power wanted to take that risk. They didn't want to take the risk of – it didn't matter if the change was going to be totally illusory. The public didn't know that. And a different face would have made a lot of people worried that a lot of social programs were going to be cut the way they were threatening.
You know what? And here's the deal. I know that I know as well as you guys do that George Soros controls a lot of the voting machines. Like I think it was 30 states that are – these voting machines are counted – are made by a Spanish company that George Soros happens to own. I've heard the stories, all kinds of stories about telescreens not working right. But you know, I think the point is, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we'd have Romney or Obama. Now, to take all conspiratorial slant away from this and just look at even what the mainstream has given us to digest on this, here's the deal. Romney, I said this for months coming up to the election. Matter of fact, I've got multiple ounces of silver sitting right here because people are starting to pay up on the bets because everybody thought Romney was going to win this thing. I said, no, he's not. He's not going to win this thing. And this was even after the first debate, second debate. I said, look, here's the deal. Regardless of how you feel about it, he's a Mormon, first of all. Look how hard it was for Kennedy as a Catholic to get elected. Right. Secondly, he started downgrading women, or at least things that he said were taken that way and spun that way. When he's talking about he has a file or a binder full of women candidates, blah, blah, blah. You know, he was stepping in it almost on every turn. Then he did the 47% thing, right or wrong, that grabbed hold. So you have a Mormon candidate that has already talked down to women who are vote more than men do. And then you talked about self-deportation and you have the Latino vote that is the largest minority vote in this country. The guy was destined to fail by sticking his foot in his own mouth to begin with. And, you know, there is a lot of hype, especially an alternative about, you know, potential stuffing the ballot box or cheating or collusion or whatever. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. But my whole point is that the candidate that was given to us, Romney, or that was presented by the Republicans, I think he was presented as a flawed candidate to begin with. It could be exactly to your point, Douglas, that they didn't want anybody but Obama in there. So they're going to present somebody like Romney. I was not surprised at all it turned out the way it did. But again, I think the biggest point is, The same people that really run the show, the same people writing legislation, the same people dictating policy, they're still in power. They're still in power if Romney got in or Obama.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and that's something else I wanted to say as well, that I knew just like you, Charlie, Romney's not going to win. Obama's going to win. Why? Because he was sent to destroy the United States, and it ain't destroyed yet.
Well, there you go. I had a take on it that, you know, Another factor is this. I've done multiple videos on the fact that over 50% of the country right now, and I'm not saying this in a denigrating way to the people that receive some kind of assistance. I'd rather see my fellow American receive a check than I would, a Wells Fargo or Goldman Sachs. But over 50% of the people in this country receive some form of government assistance, be it state, local, federal, in order to put food on their table. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's a very, very, very powerful motivating factor for people to go to the balloting place and vote for this administration you have now, especially when Romney and Ryan, their mantra was more austerity, tougher living. Well, you're talking to over half the country that's receiving some kind of social safety net at this moment. So that's another.
That's why the powers that be were worried about cities burning down. Were Romney going to be elected? But with that 50% in mind, in the time that we have left before our next break, here's something else that comes into mind with that. Since it's Veterans Day, the entire military, as I've mentioned before, in the United States, and I agree with you, Mr. McGrath, every nation is essentially a perimeter of defense. The military is very much not just a part of the nation state. The military is a part of the human condition. If we really did not make war on each other in a very real sense, we would not be human. And that is one of the odd things about the condition of humanity. The most natural tribal states in New Guinea through South America, they only kill tribal wars a year, but proportionately, they're almost killing as much as modern industrial states do when they go to war because of the paucity of their population base. So we have this human condition where war is involved. It'd be hard not to imagine humanity without it. We would almost be like the Borg. So with that in mind, defense is important, and certainly the military is important. But what we're talking about is, of course, rehabilitation. Our military has gotten so corrupt because at 2.5 million people, even if we include the entire civilian Department of Defense, which is just 100,000 people, We've got 2.5 million people. Now, with America being the third largest population on Earth after India and China, with 350 million people, 50 million of those being illegal, that's less than 1% of the population. So with that in mind, you've got this less than 1% of the population with all the services put together, including the Coast Guard, with the National Guard and all the reserves, and yet it gets every year through the annual discretionary fiscal income budget that they lobby for, it gets over 50% of that income. And so it gets about 51%. And with that in mind, you talk about the 1%, this is it. But none of it is going for veterans care. None of it is going towards retirement. The amount going towards that is minuscule. It doesn't even count. It's practically nil. It's all going towards defense contracts, towards black budget research development programs, which don't reach the field because we have no mass production in the country. When we developed the stealth bomber, we were only able to throw out a wing of them, 20 of them, about half of which were in repair at any time, just like our carriers. We had 14 super attack carriers. Half of them are in dry dock at any time. So with that in mind, when we come back from the break, I'd like to talk about what your idea might be about military rehabilitation and, you know, hear what you have to say about that, Mr. Brown.
Unfortunately, I don't think Charlie is going to be with us for one more segment. Will you, Charlie? Yep.
No,
he's
gonna take off. I'm very sorry.
Okay. It's all good, man.
I'm very sorry.
You've got your show starting very soon. WideAwakeNews.com, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to listen to Charlie right after this program. We'll be right back.